Governor Sean Parnell says the Senate's version of his oil tax reform bill meets the guiding principles he had in mind when it was introduced, but he says the House should take its own look at the legislation and make any changes that members deem necessary. Parnell says Senate Bill 21 meets his objectives for the overhaul. Namely, he says it simplifies the overall tax system for oil, protects Alaskans at low oil prices, encourages new production, and makes the state competitive with other oil-producing areas.
I'm urging those House members to look at the proposal that's there, look at SB 21 as it is now, and the dials or knobs that are there. And if you think that the system as passed to you as House members needs adjustment, then work those knobs and dials and come up with what you think is a competitive tax system, one that is fair to Alaskans, and one will inspire new production. But use those knobs and levers that are there. Don't try to make it more complicated by putting in new levers, new knobs, new dials.
Senate Bill 21 raises the base tax rate charged to oil companies from 25% to 35%. It eliminates some tax credits currently offered to oil companies, but replaces them with a $5 credit for every barrel of oil produced. It would also eliminate the progressivity feature of the current ACES tax system, which raises taxes as oil prices go up. The overall effect is a tax cut estimated at $6 billion over 5 years for oil companies. Opponents say without any guarantee of new production, the bill is a massive giveaway. Senate Bill 21 officially cleared the Senate yesterday after a vote on reconsideration. The margin was as narrow as possible, once again, with 11 Republicans supporting the measure and all 7 Democrats and 2 moderate Republicans opposing it. Parnell made his comments at yesterday's Chamber of Commerce luncheon. The governor's speech to the chamber touched on oil taxes for only about 5 minutes. He started his remarks by remembering Manicotic Village Public Safety Officer Thomas Madol, who was shot and killed in the line of duty this week. Parnell said he met Madol about a year ago on a trip to southwest Alaska.
He was a kind and gentle man, and I sat down in the Dillingham Post with him and asked about how life was in Manicotic.
Parnell said Madol's death underscores the importance of public safety programs. He noted that on March 28th, his Choose Respect campaign to end domestic violence and sexual assault in Alaska marks its third year with marches across the state.
We have a long way to go when it comes to safety for all Alaskans, not just our VPSOs, but in our homes and in our families.
Parnell also highlighted some of his economic successes the state has experienced during his administration. He said mining activity is on the rise, especially in Southeast, and the number of business license applications for land-based tourism transportation has increased from 19 in 2009 to more than 140 so far this year. Parnell also touted the Alaska-class ferry redesign, saying the state expects same or better service with shuttle ferries rather than the earlier large boat concept. The Department of Transportation is taking public comments on the draft Dayboat Alaska Class Ferry Plan through March 29th, which is a week from today. President Barack Obama's nominee to lead the Interior Department, REI Chief Executive Sally Jewell, sailed through her committee vote yesterday morning. It was unclear whether Senator Lisa Murkowski was going to try and scuttle the committee vote because of the dispute over building a road through the Eisenbeck National Wildlife Refuge. Residents of King Cove had lobbied for the connector road, saying traveling to Cold Bay by sea and air is often unsafe. Late Wednesday night, Senator Murkowski reached an agreement on the issue with current Interior Secretary Ken Salazar. APRN's Peter Granitz has more on the story.
Senator Murkowski has been threatening to filibuster the nomination over the Interior Department's decision to prevent construction of a road from King Cove to Cold Bay. The proposed road cuts through the Eisenbeck National Wildlife Refuge. Secretary Salazar has agreed to reevaluate the decision. That was enough to appease Senator Murkowski to allow the committee vote.
Sally Jewell will have the undeniable privilege of going to King Cove, and I'm going to be with her. We'll figure out when the best time of year is to get in and out safely. It may be that we have to fly into Cold Bay and walk.
A final decision on the road could be months, if not years, away. Interior will reassess the environmental review and include what Senator Murkowski calls the human component of the construction project. The agreement was announced as the hearing began, and not long after, the panel voted 18-3 to move her nomination onto the full Senate. The three no votes came from Republicans, including Wyoming's John Barrasso. He says he's concerned over Ms. Jewell's work on the board of the National Parks Conservation Association.
I've asked her whether she disagrees with NPCA's positions. She testified that as vice chairman, she was unaware of the organization's various positions and thus unable to say what positions she disagrees with. Well, that concerns me.
He's concerned that NPCA has sued the government to halt some energy projects on public land. Senator Murkowski says she'll take Ms. Jewell at her word, that Ms. Jewell will bring people of all stripes together, from the Interior Department and outside, to hash out areas of disagreement.
She says specifically that she is a convener. I need her to be a convener. We need her to be a convener.
That does not mean Senator Murkowski is a guaranteed yes vote. She says there are specific questions she has not gotten firm answers to.
I asked a very direct question on whether or not she would support putting ANWR into wilderness, and kind of I got the, well, I believe in balance type of a thing.
Seven Republicans voted in favor of moving the nomination onto the full Senate, including Idaho Senator Jim Risch. Risch noted the quirkiness of the cabinet confirmation process. Every state has its own King Cove. In Idaho, it's the endangered sage grouse. A major perk of being senator is the ability to threaten to filibuster a cabinet pick for a home state gimme.
It's really unfortunate that it takes a nomination like this and this type of a process in order to get urgency out of a federal agency.
Risch points out, even though he voted to move Ms. Jewell onto the full Senate, he can and may yet put a hold on the nominee. The Senate takes off the next 2 weeks for recess. It's expected to debate Ms. Jewell's confirmation in April. In Washington, D.C., I'm Peter Granitz.
People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals is urging sponsors of the Iditarod to end their support for the race after a dog was buried in snow by severe winds and suffocated to death. PETA says it sent a letter to sponsors yesterday asking them to permanently pull out of the 1,000-mile race. Race organizers say changes are planned for care of dogs removed from the race or drop dogs. They say it's in response to the death of 5-year-old Dorado. The dog was found dead at a checkpoint last week, days after it was removed from running because it was moving stiffly. Changes planned include construction of dog shelters at two major checkpoints for withdrawn or dropped dogs and more frequent checks on the animals. PETA has long criticized the Iditarod race as cruel.